Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 666.
Finally. I've been waiting so long.
Are you going to throw up the horns?
Well, yeah.
I'm perpetually throwing up the horns in my soul.
This episode is devilishly brought to you by Birchbox Man.
Yeah.
You don't have to be Steve McQueen or even Mephistopheles to look good when you leave the house. Some pomade and a pocket square go a lot further than you think, Kyle.
Oh, yeah.
But it's difficult to find these things because you don't have a lot of time to devote to going out to department stores and figuring out what looks good and is
weird. I hate walking to a department store and going, where's the pocket squares?
Where are they? And which one? And do I have a pocket to
put
them in?
Wait, there's more than one? And then they're, oh, I'm in over my head. Is there a website that can help me?
Birchbox Man!
Yeah!
All right. They're not just going to send you a box of swag. They're going to send a lineup of grooming and style picks that are tailored to suit your specific profile. All right? You want some kind of woodsy beard oil for because you're some kind of urban lumberjack? Great. You want that pocket square Kyle was just prattling on about a second ago? Every delivery is personalized according to what you need, whether it's you're a gentleman athlete or a tech aficionado. No more duds or unpleasant surprises, all right? If you like what you get, and you will, then you can buy a full-size version in the Birchbox shop with perks like free shipping just to sweeten the pot for $20 a month. Subscribers receive a monthly box of gear and grooming upgrades, all tailored to suit their personal style. The May box is a comeback story, so there's warm weather upgrades to help you emerge from your long hibernation, Kyle.
I'm awake now.
Well, we're in California, Southern California, so
we have bears here, and I can try to emulate their lifestyle.
I'm an otter.
You sure are.
That's what I was told. Head over to Birchbox.com and use the promo code Nerdist to get 100 Birchbox points with the purchase of your subscription. That is $10 to spend toward your new favorite products. Thank you to Birchbox for sponsoring this episode of the Nerdist Podcast. We're doing the Fun Comfortable Tour is this weekend in Columbus, Ohio, and Atlanta, Georgia.
Ooh.
If you go to FunComfortableTour.com, I believe there are some still tickets left for the late shows. April Richardson and myself will be there. Then the following weekend, Boston at the Wilbur Theater, and then New York at the Best Buy. There's just, I think, two shows in each city and a handful of tickets for those, too. So go to FunComfortableTour.com and join us out there. Maybe we'll find a donut shop and do a meet and greet after the show. Kyle, what do you got on the corkboard?
Well, I'm not sure you remember that five-year anniversary party we had.
Mm.
Do you remember Hedy Irene, the girl who did the Night of Living Dead script?
I do, and I said you should do that here at Meltdown.
Well, that shit is happening.
What?
Yeah, it's on Thursday, April 23rd, 7 p.m. Her dreams are coming true. They're doing a table read for it at the theater. It's going to be amazing. I'm very excited. I think I'm going to go.
We watched it unfold before our
very
eyes.
Watching Nerdist people rise into the doing stuff.
All world. Right. Good. It's good words together put. Katie, you.
So today, Wednesday the 22nd,
the
Chewing It guys, along with the rest of the Broken Lizard crew and Kevin Pereira, are doing a Twitch channel mashup. They're going to do a big telethon from 3 p.m. to 9 p.m. to help raise money for Super Troopers 2. So
Ooh.
You can watch it by going to twitch.tv/theattack. They're going to have musicians. They're going to be talking. They're going to
I bet
just
they talk
a
about
lot of
dicks.
Crazy shit.
Like, I like those guys and that Kevin
shit.
Pereira.
Yeah.
Kevin Pereira is a good egg.
Kevin's a good dude.
You know, I had a group of people over to my house for dinner. Rather than having like a giant party, once the house had all the furniture in it, I was like, I'm just going to have small groups of 6 to 8 people over and we'll have dinners and then it'll be... Because I don't want to be this guy that's like, please don't put that on that table. Like, I don't want to be that guy. And so, you know, the environment's a little... And you can talk to everyone.
Yeah.
In a big party, you don't get to talk to everybody. So I had Kevin and Bria over and Jessica Chobot and Blair Herder and Allison Hayslip. And
Ooh.
So we had this nice group together.
Back of the dinner party.
And here's the kind of guy Kevin Pereira is. I get a handwritten thank you note in the mail.
Who does
that? He is a hand... People with class.
Was it written in cursive?
It was written in cursive.
Oh my God.
That Kevin Pereira is a quality man.
He's a gentleman.
He is a gentleman. So thank you. Thank you, Kev, for the it's just really nice to see everyone kind of going off and doing their own stuff. But, you know, he anchored that attack of the show for forever. And I hope people appreciate
he
him
will,
for that.
He will always have a special place in my heart because the first time we met, he was like, do you want to see a bunch of pictures of dicks docking? And that's what we just did, sitting in a green room for like 10 minutes, just scrolling through dicks, going into other dicks.
Do you want to show you a picture of Dawkins' dick?
Yeah. All the members of Dawkins?
Yeah, it's 666 episode.
They're into the fire! 666! Hail Satan.
This episode of the Nerdist Podcast is Eliza Coop, who is so fucking funny. I didn't really know her that. I mean, I'm sure I say this on the podcast, but I didn't know her that well. And she came on at midnight and crushed it. And, you know, like when you meet people right away that, you know, got the comedy goods, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, you're funny. You're funny as shit. I want you to work more so I can watch you be funny in more things. And really, really a great guest because as you see the episode unfold, you know, she is very honest and very, very cool about things that she's struggling with and, you know, things that she's overcome and, you know, and then just general talks about comedy. So I greatly enjoyed her as a guest, and I hope that she and I become better friends because I like her a lot. She is in a movie called The Last Time You Had Fun with Eliza, Mary Elizabeth Ellis, Dimitri Martin, Charlene Yee, and more. It's available on demand now at thelasttimeyouhadfun.com. And again, this episode was brought to you by Birchbox Man. Go to Birchbox.com and use the promo code Nerdist to get 100 Birchbox points with the purchase of your subscription. $10 to spend toward your new favorite products. But right now, the Nerdist Podcast number 666. Yeah. You didn't do it, Katie. Let's do it again.
All right.
Nerdist Podcast number 666 with Eliza Coop.
Katie's got a nice devil voice.
Yeah, you do have a good devil voice. Yeah. You should be a Satanist.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Katie, you're an experienced professional. I want to applaud your commitment to professionalism. And I want to thank you on behalf of Eliza. No more questions. I don't know why. I just
was good.
Felt like your attorney for a second.
Thank you so much.
Sure,
I appreciate it.
Ms. Coop will not be responding to the allegations that are in the media right now. So if you have any questions about any of her projects or what type of pets she likes, I'm sorry, that actually pertains to the allegations. Forget that. No questions.
Will you be doing any projects based on the allegations?
Shit!
Wow,
it's a loophole.
You
have to answer it. Yeah, you're gonna have to answer that. You didn't even have a microphone for that.
Sounds like I'm from the crowd.
Just pretend.
Just speak into this cord.
There we go.
Jack yourself into the matrix. I'm very self-conscious about how much TV makeup I have on.
I don't want to comment on it because I'm self-conscious for you.
Oh, okay. Now I'm extra self-conscious.
You don't even look like you're wearing any.
You just look like
you have perfect skin.
I mean, that's what I have.
I mean, obviously. Mm-hmm.
I have perfect skin. It's perfect alabaster. It doesn't, there are no tonal
alabaster
changes.
Alabaster's not like the most. alabaster skin. Just give me the palest man alive.
I look like the statue, the haunted mansion statues that.
That's it.
That follow your.
God, you're making yourself so much more attractive right now. There's nothing more attractive than that.
Yeah, than the haunted mansion?
Oh, that's my thing.
Okay, I can't tell if you're being sarcastic or not.
Really?
I have a lot of friends who really like, so you probably wouldn't like my Haunted Mansion wallpaper phone case.
I do like that.
All right.
No, I'm saying, yeah, I don't love a Haunted Mansion. Let's just put that out there.
What's wrong with a Haunted Mansion? I mean, like,
I don't like anything haunted.
Okay, so I was speaking specifically about Disneyland, but you're just talking about haunted mansions in general.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I grew up in New England where they're legit haunted mansions.
I'm sure there are.
Like everything's haunted. And when you tell your parents, they're just like, it's your imagination. And you're like, it's not. There's a thing. And then they're like, you're crazy. And then there's a therapist involved. And
a 6 foot tall figure in a buckle hat was sobbing over my bed. I didn't make that up.
How did you know my exact nightmare?
Oh, my God. Well, we're here to reunite you with your childhood phantasm. Let's bring him out. Let's bring out John Goodwife.
Oh.
I don't think I said that right.
No, it's right.
It isn't? I meant W-Y-F-E because that's how they spell things. Congrips. Congrips, you know? You know how the S in the middle of a word in old English looked like, they looked like Fs? Yeah, Congrips.
It's like folio text.
Yeah.
Like the old folio.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So... I guess ultimately, I'm curious to know what you think about early American writing structures.
I think that it was a lot more. It was more beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can get a lot of different fonts though now, like Helvetica New or whatever it's called.
Helvetica New is a great font.
Times New Roman.
Times New Roman is good.
I love a Greek.
I like an Arial Black. I mean, I'm sorry, Arial African American. What a stupid joke. Why would I even say that? I'm sorry. Kyle's
no, but the worst is that I'm laughing so hard at it. That's the worst.
Kyle's shaking his head. Kyle looks like a kid who does not want to take his nightly bath. Son, you're going to have to get in the tub.
I just heard nightly meth, by the way. That's son, what my ears just heard. Was
you know your mom and I like you up all night. You're going to have to take your nightly meth. Come on, kiddo. It's crunchy. We make him eat it.
No, that's good. That's good.
You were on At Midnight maybe 6 months ago.
Yeah.
Does that seem reasonable?
Yeah.
And you were so funny.
That's sweet.
And so I immediately, and I mean, I of course was familiar with you before, but I didn't really know that much about you. And you were really so funny. And so I immediately was like, you have to come on the podcast.
I know. I wanted to because I thought you were very funny, and I didn't really. I knew, obviously, knew who you were. I mean, who doesn't know you are?
A lot of people. Yeah,
I think I'm the one that people are like Cope, Eliza Cope, Cope. It's Coop. It's like it's like the car. It's like when you would.
No, it's like Cope. It's like when you pay $10 at the pharmacy. I'm sorry.
Why have I never used that before?
I don't
because my name's not pronounced Cope.
It's not yet.
But I'm going to use it anyway.
But if you wanted to go with Cope.
I think I'm, you know what, I'm going to change it on IMDb.
Would you, well.
To just be copay.
You're going to spell it C-O-P-A-Y?
With a dash, but with a dash.
Oh, C-O
dash. C-O-P-A-Y.
Dash P-A-Y, yeah, just change it.
Yeah.
You can do that in this day and age.
You can.
There's probably an online form somewhere where you could just change your.
I'm doing it.
It's probably, you know what, I'll tell you what, it's probably actually easier to change your name legally than it is to change information on IMDb.
No, that's true.
Because it's
that's
fucking hard.
True. You can't change anything.
I've tried to change things that are false.
No, everything on my IMDb is false. Not everything. But they like my, it's like they say that I've done, like, I studied at this place. I'm like, I didn't study at that place. I took a class there, like, for a day.
And to be honest, I didn't really study. I just.
At all.
No,
at
I all. Showed up. For
showed
class.
Up. I made a lot of wrong choices with people in the class. That's a whole other story. We don't even write a guy.
Those are
there.
Part of the allegations that we can't talk about. You're from Hampshire? Is that right?
Hampshire.
Yeah.
Where are you from?
Tennessee. I was born in Kentucky. I grew up in Tennessee.
Oh. Mm-hmm. That's what I can hear. Just like slight in your voice.
What? You mean this? No. This whole thing?
That's the alabaster skin. What? That's why you have alabaster skin.
I am
skin.
So white, y'all. I am like ranch dressing
you
white.
You can drop into that real quick.
I can drop.
You
well,
can drop.
Yeah, get a little nasally up
that's
in there.
Good.
Thank you.
Attractive.
Yeah. Ladies, hey. Who wants to go to a dick party? Huh? Invite only. Okay, you're all invited. Yeah. Yeah, that's how
that's
I
good.
Like to drop.
That's a better accent than the New Hampshire accent, though.
You think so?
We sound wicked dumb.
What is
wicked stupid, wicked dumb. We're just everything with an A has an ER, so I legitimately say spatula. No, but like that sounds right to me.
Come on, Eliza.
That's what my family calls me. Eliza lives in California. She does yoga. She eats bananas.
Really? Because I thought it was just sort of a way to get from the end of a vowel at the end of a word to a vowel at the beginning of the next word. Eliza and I are.
Right.
But I don't know if I would just say, what's up, Eliza?
No, it's Eliza. And I have a cousin named Sarah and Aniker. It's all that. And it's and my dad just says it so, and everyone's just like, Eliza. I'm like, when you named me, mm-hmm. so that's what was in your head when you named me, that was a beautiful name. Eliza. Mm-hmm.
Eliza.
Was a beautiful name
yeah.
to them.
It is nice. It's sort of witchy. I kind of like it.
It's a little witchy.
It's kind of witchy.
I did research that a witch was burned in Salem named Eliza.
And that is who is appearing over your bed?
We're really close.
She's your witching sister. Yeah, I mean, you got to, if you're going to... You kind of have to establish
Wiccan.
A good relationship if you want her to inhabit your body
yeah.
every once in a while and you know
yeah.
and experience the earthly delights that
right.
you get on the
she just
spiritual
jumps right
plane.
In. She just jumps right
in and out.
In and out, real
in
quick.
And out.
Yeah.
So what's on? So you have a movie, but then are you still on Benched?
Benched was canceled.
God damn it!
It's fine.
The
I'm not,
fuck?
It's fine. It's
what?
Fine.
I want you to say right now, use this as your platform to tell those executives what you really think.
Because they fucked us. Because they really fucked us. They really did.
What did they do?
They really did. They decided that when our show came out, they were like, USA was like, we're not going to do comedy anymore. Like the day we premiered. And everyone was like, yay, watch our show. Oh. Comedies are no longer.
Yeah.
Cool. Great strategy for promoting this show. So that's a good strategy. Come watch this network. This will be the last comedy you ever see on it. Yeah. Which isn't true. They still kept some comedies. It's fine.
No, I think this is bullshit.
It is.
And we're going to go talk to the USR network. I'm trying to.
You're good.
Thank
You're
you. Good. I appreciate it.
You're good.
What did your parents do?
What did they do?
Yeah.
My dad does a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
He's in sales, but he was once a, he swept chimneys. He did Carly Simon's chimney in, on Beacon Hill in Boston.
Really?
That was a thing. That was a very short stint. And then he was also a, randomly he was an agent for a football player in the, European League who went, like grew up in our town. That was a very quick thing. He was also a semi-pro hockey player.
Oh, wow.
I played ice hockey. I was real.
You did? You played hockey?
Big time. I was a captain of a boys' team.
Shit.
There was another girl on the team, but she looked a lot like a guy.
Okay. And the
coach
captain.
Was a woman, and she loved me.
Uh-huh.
And so she was just like, it was always like, I was starting center, and I went out there, and I was the unofficial captain.
Did you beat the shit out of anyone?
I did. I got in one really bad fight. Like, really bad. He didn't know I was a girl, and then when we were facing off, he saw that I was a girl. And it was like, we were playing at Exeter, which in New Hampshire, it's like prep school.
That's like big time prep school.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was playing against him and he looked at me. He's like, you're a fucking girl. And I was like, something was going on with me. It was a whole thing. I was just in a mood.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah. And he said something else. I don't remember what. And I just took my stick and went straight for his throat. I'd seen it in a lot of Bruins games and I was like, I can do that. Why can't I do that?
So you murdered a child.
I murdered him. He fought back, which was amazing. And then everyone was like, you can't hit her. She's a girl. And I was like, you can, I was a very different person back then. I was like, you can hit me. And like, we went at it for a little bit. And then I was in a penalty box. I was there for a while.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a lot.
So, your memoir is Getting Out of the Penalty Box.
Yeah.
The story of Eliza Coupe.
Eliza Coupe.
I think I had a couple friends who went to Exeter.
Two or three friends who went to Exeter. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
My brothers went to prep schools. I went to a public school.
Okay.
I wasn't cool enough to go to the, it's not a soft spot. It's not like, it's like I'm not sensitive to that subject anymore.
Well, that's weird. I didn't ask and you were just offered that information.
Yeah,
that
no, I just, to. My parents were like, let's Sam and Tom go to prep schools. Liza, go to the fucking scuzzy like regular school. No, it was good theater at the public school.
Oh, okay.
So that's why I went there.
And that was the real focus.
Cause I was hockey. I played a little tennis.
Yeah.
I loved tennis. I like sports where you can hit. And then I tried to play field hockey and they were like, you can't use the other side of your stick. And I was like, that's bullshit. I'm out.
And then in tennis, when you took your racket to the other person's throat, you were like, okay, you cannot do this in tennis.
And I was like, I just put me in the penalty box. And there isn't one in tennis.
It's called prison. The penalty box is called prison on a tennis court.
I'm sweating. And I just felt it drip down.
Why?
I don't know. Just my left armpit. It's fine.
Just so the right one's okay.
The right one is fine.
All right. Good. Good, good. And your sweater's kind of drapey.
I can feel it's a lot.
There is a heater on in here, but it's usually very cold in the studio.
I know. I was cold before. I even brought a down vest in case it got real, real chilly.
Oh, you really did.
New Hampshire, you always are just prepared.
Sure.
You never know what's going to happen.
So a down vest really does keep most of you warm, even though it's just covering your torso?
It does. Your torso is fine. Your arms are frostbite.
Right.
Arms are frostbite. And I'm wearing shorts. So but the core.
Yeah. I just did stand up in Minneapolis and Madison and it snowed the first day I got there, but then it melted by the afternoon, and it was in the 40s or something. Mm-hmm. And they're real smug about, like, they'll be like, 40s. Yeah, shorts weather. Oh, like it's like
same in New Hampshire. Yeah. Everyone, like, once it gets to be spring, all the Massachusetts people come up to ski in New Hampshire, or the Massholes, as we call them.
Yes.
And they come up and they get their jeans on, their ripped jeans, they get their ski boots or their snowboards, and then they wear their fucking like cut off vest that they cut the sleeves off. This is back when I was there. I don't know what this is now. They wear their like jean coats, you know, and they ripped off the sleeves, and then they're like nothing. And they're just like, no hat. And they're just so cool. And then us New Hampshire people are like, we get it. It's warm, but you guys got to calm down.
I would like to see like people going to work in the financial district with cut off suits, where it's just like the arms are just cut off.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
The cold doesn't bother you
right.
the way it bothers right. us.
Or you're just used to it in New Hampshire. You're like, I'm not going to, like, New Hampshire, yeah, they'll do the whole thing where they're like, we're going to just wear a t-shirt today because it's, you know, it's a nice balmy 30. It's beautiful out.
What made you decide, like, when you took theater in high school, were you like, I'm definitely getting out of New Hampshire?
I told my parents when I was 4 I was going to be a movie star.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was just like, they were like, cool. And my dad, they were like weirdly, like, super supportive.
She didn't want to follow the family business and represent a European football player?
For like a month?
For a minute?
No, they were like weirdly supportive. And they like sent me to theater camp and all sorts of things. And I got obsessed with movies and would like watch them over and over again and like write out the script of them in my brain, like what I heard, which wasn't right.
Right.
And then I would write it and I was obsessed with like comedians and I got really obsessive.
So was comedy, did you focus specifically on comedy or is it just, okay.
Yeah. Cause I kind of realized I was like, even as a little kid, I was like, I know what I'll do. A lot of girls want to be actors. Like I was like 10. I was like, if I do it through comedy, cause there's not a lot of girls doing comedy, then I'll be special. Then I'll be different. And then from there, that's a good way to the middle. Then I'll work my way up.
Yep.
And my parents were like, great plan, Lies. Okay, let's go play hockey.
I'm
like,
and they didn't. So what when you're in theater school, would you have any, live performance training or like in terms of like sketch improv?
Kind of.
Okay.
I went to conservatory theater, did Shakespeare in France, literally like super Shakespeare, like folio text. Like I could probably read it. I can't. I just said that to sound cool. I can't read folio text.
Well, I appreciate your immediate backpedaling.
Well,
just to let everyone know.
I do that a lot. You should read my journals. Like I lie in my journal and then I go back and I'm like, I didn't mean that. It's not true.
Is it the okay. I think this is a fun thing to try to dissect. Is it the thrill of the lie in the moment, but then the immediate guilt?
I think it's that it's something in the, okay. So I think what it is that whenever that happened, so back in college, I wanted to be able to read that stuff so well. So mm-hmm. now, like 10 years later, I'm like, I did it. It's because that young girl who wanted to, she needs to know that now I'm lying about it.
Right.
That just got weird. I just made that very weird.
No, it's not weird at all. I think it's as long as you have a really good time dialogue with yourself that spans, you know, 10 plus years
right.
so that you're lying to yourself in the past.
Well, I've kept a journal since 5th grade.
Have you really?
Every night.
How long? Like how long are the passages?
sometimes 5 pages.
Handwritten?
Handwritten always. I always do it in bed. So I'm falling asleep. So at the end it's like buttermilk cookies and horses. That's apparently what I was dreaming about.
You've never transferred it over to like,
no, and I should, because it's my parents. I kept them at my parents' house and there was like some, you know, pipes freeze or burst in New Hampshire, and so like water damage all over them. And I was like, when I found that out and they were in the basement, I was freaked out because my stuffed animals were there, which I had a real attachment to. They were my only friends growing up.
Sure,
whatever. And then my journals. So I went home and they were like hung all over the place during Christmas, just trying to still dry them out.
Yeah.
And they're pretty much ruined. But
so I have a personal question, which you don't really have to answer if you don't want to. Obviously, you don't have to do anything you don't want to do. Fuck it. Free country. So I see you're married.
I am.
Okay. So is there like sexy time and then going to journal? Like, is it literally yes. like you just sort of roll over and then just like...
It's only like we get into bed and everything, and then everything, you know, do the thing, and then I'm like,
do the thing. I have to journal.
We do the thing.
Yeah.
Everything's great, and then he falls asleep immediately, and I'm like, my brain's going. I have so many thoughts I gotta put down because I don't know who I think is gonna read this someday and give a fuck that I'm like talking about whatever I'm talking about. And so then I journal, and I have to journal to fall asleep. If I don't, I don't sleep very well.
Oh wow!
I know, but I also journal in the morning too.
Oh my!
By candlelight at 4 a.m.
Oh, wow. Talk about old-timey writing.
I know. Yeah, with a quill. No, I don't. It's a real pen.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
And your husband is never... I wonder if he's ever curious, like, did she just write about...
Oh, I write about everything. I write about everything. And I have had it... Like, I was so trusting growing up, because my mother was like... You have a lot of feelings and thoughts and you talk a lot. Here's a journal. Oh. We don't want to deal with you. So they tried that, and then they were like, and now you need therapy. But the journal was the first step. So I would leave it. I was so trusting. My mother was like very loving and like, just like, write your thoughts and just leave it. And I just left it around. Like, boyfriends found it. And then in college, my roommate was terrible, and she like found it and like read it to everyone on the floor, which was awful and embarrassing.
I'm surprised you didn't shove a hockey stick in her face. Like,
I was trying to be good.
That's one of the worst things you can do is read someone's journal.
The worst thing. And my ex-husband used to, I'm young and I've been divorced. It's fine.
There's nothing wrong with that. You know, you tried to make a commitment.
I did.
You were trying to do something
good. I was 17
good.
When I started dating him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you, you know what would be interesting is a journal like that. It's probably a pretty interesting roadmap for particularly in a relationship, like when things start to go south, like you can map it out.
I can map out everything. I can go back. Like when people need to know things, I'm like, I got it, guys. Like if they need to know anything about, like, I have like history books basically of only my life, but it's fine.
Encyclopedia Elisica.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. That's what they're called. That's weird that you know that if you've been reading my journals.
No, well, yeah, your old roommate put it up on Reddit.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so it's just there. Yeah, everyone listening's Reddit
too.
This is really just more.
Oh, good, good. So that's out there.
Yeah.
So everyone knows about my dog Baxter. Had a real thing with my dog Baxter.
I was just kidding. I didn't know.
Okay, it's fine.
No,
it's fine.
How are they organized? Like, how do you organize? Like, if someone says
they're not.
Okay,
that's what's fucked up. Like, they're not even organized. They're like every single one says like the date. And it says, like, before I was categorizing them as like nighttime journal and morning journal, and then they kind of mixed into one. But you can tell by the handwriting which is the morning entry and which is the night entry. Because my morning entry is like always very like nicely written and perfect, and everything's like happy. My night one's like, I fucking hate everything's like scribbles all over the page, and it's like two different people. I'm admitting that I have a split personality disorder right
now. That's weird. You just said that.
Yeah. that was funny.
Thank you. So the fucked up thing about this is that so you have years worth of journals, but it's not like you can pay someone to transfer all that over because you don't want anyone to read it.
No.
So you would have to do
it,
which is a tremendous amount of work.
And awful, because I go back and read it. And sometimes I think I'm writing some of the best writing that anyone has ever written in their lives. Like just like some of the most deep, amazing, like poetic like thoughts. And I go back and read it and I'm like, oh, that's dumb. That is so dumb. And nobody would give a shit about that. But in the moment, it's like that's how I needed to kind of process whatever was going on. And it's like, to me, it was beautiful, but no.
What is the delineation between, besides the handwriting, between morning entries and night entries? Is a morning entry hopeful and the night entry is like, I've been stepped on all day and I just want to fall asleep?
Yes. Well, that's why I love morning time, because nothing can be ruined yet.
Right.
So it's like everything's perfect. No one's asleep. Like no one's awake. Everyone's asleep. And it's kind of like, you're just there.
Mm-hmm.
And like everything is so optimistic. And then by night, you're like, well, all my fucking plans went to shit.
Yeah.
But not always. It's gotten better. But I always tell my brother, like I always text my brother or call him before I get on a plane. I'm like, if this plane goes down, publish my journals. He's like, why? He's like, nobody wants to read them. I'm like, yeah, but maybe there's some stuff in there. And I write about like everything. Like I wrote about being on At Midnight.
You did?
Yes.
Was it a I mean, you don't have to tell me.
No, it was totally positive.
Okay, good, good.
It was like I write about everything. I've realized that like I am just going back. It's like, and today I did this and went to this. It's boring.
But I will say there would be some advantage to you transferring this over to some type of digital format so you could do word searches and find out.
That's so true.
I mean, I think it would empower you to parse out basically the data of your life and figure out, you know, like see where your patterns are.
Well, I've realized that's how I write too. So that's like, I'm writing a screenplay right now and I wrote the whole movie in journal entries from the main character. That's how I did it. And now I'm going back and putting it into a screenplay, but that's how my brain has to write. It's kind of crazy.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think I was committed to anything like that, you know, like, well, I guess that's not true. I would experiment with that every once in a while. And it would last for like 4 days.
Yeah.
I mean, like most people.
No, I know. I know.
Yeah.
I give journals to people all the time. They're like, Cool. Thanks so much.
You know, not everyone does this, Eliza.
Well, I don't know. I'm just trying to...
But see, I get stuck in a pattern. Like, I ate the same breakfast for 10 years. The same exact breakfast for 10 years.
I am definitely... Well, first of all, what is your breakfast? What is?
Well, it was. This was like...
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't mean that. Yeah, sure.
I've been having the same smoothie for exact same ingredients from the same smoothie for the past 2 years.
Okay.
But before... It was like, this is when I could eat dairy, and then I took all these blood tests and found out I can't go near dairy. Also, tomatoes or asparagus, that's weird. And quinoa. Most people love quinoa. I can't have it.
On the upside, your pee is never going to smell.
It's never going to smell.
Yeah.
That is quite a smell from asparagus.
Oh, my God.
Like, if that's a small bathroom with no window, you're embarrassed to walk
out. And in
out
the
of
summer,
the
bad
worst.
News.
The worst.
Very bad news.
And if you pee down your leg, there's a hole.
That's an entirely different... And if you have gastric distress and asparagus pee, that is a bad combination, but a great album title.
That is.
Gastric distress and asparagus
pee?
That's
really good.
Yeah.
You need to save that.
I'll save that for some in my thing that I'm not going to journal later.
Yeah. I'll journal about it.
I mean, I'll tell you, there's a version of that you do in stand-up, which is basic, but it's all joke-based,
right.
You know?
Right.
But I really... It's so smart to do that. Is to put your do you feel that that throwing it onto a page just like clears the slate
totally.
In your brain?
Yeah, but I think sometimes it can be detrimental because I think that you can. I think that over the years I've actually gotten in a habit of venting in a certain way to my journal, almost like it's a. So then it becomes like a habit of like, oh, I'm going to stay in that cycle. Like, I'm going to stay in that anger. I'm going to stay in that thing so that I can, because what's my journal going to do? Tell me to not be that way? Like,
right.
It's not. So I think it's kind of like I have started to try to shift it to be a little bit more positive. So I'm not
sure.
Always like, I hate this. I hate that. It's like, stop, because that's not very helpful to, you know, moving on as a being.
Do you ever feel like you're imprisoned by this morning nightly thing?
Yeah, I do have times where it's like, I don't want to journal, but I have to journal. I should journal. And then there's like, I have a whole morning routine that's become... So long. I mean, I get up at 4. I have to take a freezing cold shower right when I wake up.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Why do you get up at 4?
Because there's so much
that's
to do.
Magic time?
Yeah, it is. 4 or 4:30.
So you must go to bed at 10?
No, I go to bed at like 8.
You go to bed at 8?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. You'll never see any of the shows you're on.
I know. No, when I'm working, I stay up later. And in the summer, I stay up a little later. But that's only because it's light out still. And I can't really fall asleep when it's...
What does your husband do?
He's worse. He falls asleep at like 7.
Really?
Yeah. And he'll get up at like 3:30.
That's insane.
We both do. That's kind of how we... Like somebody like put us together because they're like, you're the only two people in the world that do this. And
that's
that was like before we met each other.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
So when did you start getting up at 4 a.m.?
4 a.m. is like in the past 6 years. But before that, I was always getting up early. Like even as a kid, I would get up because my dad used to like another thing that my dad does is he writes short stories.
Yeah.
For himself. And
sure.
He's been published once in like some in a like New England paper. And he's a really good writer, but it's like it's a side thing. So he would get up really early and write on a typewriter. And I just love the sound of it. So I would just go down and like listen to him. And then we'd go get donuts.
Aww.
Yeah.
That's so sweet.
I ate a lot of donuts, though. I was a much heavier child. I was a much heavier child. I didn't ever shy away from an actual dozen donuts. I was much bigger when I played hockey.
That was donut rage.
It was a lot of donut rage.
But I think that's good. You must have journaled about that.
I did. I journaled a lot about it. But what's funny is when I go back and look at like my childhood journals, it's all like, I'm going to be an actress. I'm going to be this. And it's like all super positive. This is happening. I'm like, I was doing The Secret before The Secret was doing The fucking Secret.
If you have a therapist or you're just like, here's the book.
Seriously, I should give it to them in advance.
Yeah.
They would be like, we need more therapists.
It's a quick read. Just take a browse and then we'll meet up when you're all caught up.
Yeah.
So first of all, what was the breakfast that you ate for 10 years?
Okay. It was Greek yogurt,
mm-hmm.
but like specifically 8 ounces of Greek yogurt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then it was 1 ounce of puffed millet.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm not comfortable with that term. I just don't like the term.
It wasn't great. And then I would put actual like sea salt on it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then I would get a bunch of like fruit, but it had to be very specific fruit. Like I love bananas.
Mm-hmm.
I've already had 4 of them today, and I got one in my bag for the ride home, so it's going to be a big night.
Oh, nice. A traffic banana.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone needs one.
Yeah.
If you haven't done it,
it's a multi-use.
Yeah. So bananas and, like, other fruit, and then And then, is that it? Was that it? Yeah. Oh, and then I would do 2 eggs.
Now, when you watch When Harry Met Sally, are you like, I get her?
Oh, I get her. I so get her. I do. But I ate that for the longest time. And I wouldn't, and I would wake up and I'd be like, have something new. And then it would be like, I'd be going to the cupboard and I'd be like, you're not going to have something new. And I did, and I had it.
Well, you know, my feeling with that stuff is, well, I know I like this thing,
yeah.
So why don't I just
That's
eat it?
That's how I was, too. I was like, I know I like it. I know it works for me. I know it's not going to do some crazy thing to my stomach, although then it ended up, like, dairy. Not
so
a great.
So actually, you were really wrong
about
that.
I was very wrong. Well, the fact that I was allergic to my own mother's breast milk, so I'm allergic to everything. Like, my own mother couldn't even freaking feed me.
Did you have to bring in a breast? I don't know what the term would be for that. Was another? Did you sample?
I had a goat. I had to have a goat. I had to go suck on a goat's teat. No.
That would be amazing.
Wouldn't that be amazing if they brought in a little goat? A baby goat. I don't think that wouldn't be appropriate.
No, I feel like that's...
I don't think it would be great. But a baby sucking on a baby? That can't be wrong.
I mean, they're the same age.
Yeah.
That's age appropriate.
It was.
That's age appropriate.
It would have been, yeah, that would not have been...
Tit sucking.
Age appropriate tit sucking. Yeah. Baby on baby.
WB white baby seeks WG white BG black goat BBG back black baby goat. All right, I've hammered all the beats.
Oh,
of the
no, you did.
Now.
You did.
Well, it was a bit of a process getting there, but I think
I liked it. But I like how quick you could come up with that.
We're ready to go to
that was
set
good.
With it.
That was good.
Put it on right now. That's amazing. So you were.
Yep.
I wonder if there's anything. Is there anything medical or psychological to be gleaned from the fact that you're allergic to your mother's breast milk? Is that common?
I don't think it's common, and I think it's actually, I don't know. There's a lot there, I'm sure. I'm sure that if you were like, I've had many doctors be like, because I've gone to like, of course I've gone to every guru, and of course every time I'm sitting there like, I'm going to write about you tomorrow, and I'm like, I know everything about
oh,
you.
Oh yeah, I'm going to write about
That's
you.
Right. Yeah. Oh, this is getting written about.
Yeah.
This is getting written about.
You made
about,
the journal,
by
asshole.
By the way. And I've had so many different theories. Like, I broke my ankle the other year and never got it fixed. It's still a real problem for me.
Jesus Christ.
Well, I worked out on it, like, after I broke it because I was like, fuck it. It's not broken. That was, like, my
right.
like hockey, like, I'm fine type
right.
of thing. And but I broke it when my mother had just come to visit. And I had this woman tell me, she's like, your ankles are your mother. I'm like, what? What? Like, what does that mean? And she was like, that symbolizes your mother. So it's interesting you broke it with your mother here.
I'm
like,
curious. You were allergic to your ankle's breast milk?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But there's all those reasons. Like, there's all those reasons, like, that people love to give. Like, well, that's a big thing if you're allergic to the breast milk. It's like, okay. Well, or she ate shit when she was pregnant with me. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. It can be kind of dicey depending on what type of person you go to.
Yeah.
Because... essentially, I feel like anything that comes out of your mouth can be spun in pretty much any direction.
The worst.
And you'll assign whatever you agree with.
Yeah, it's true. Because if something even resonates a little bit with you, you just latch onto it like, oh my God, they just told, that's the secret to my life. That's why I'm fucked up. That's why I'm this. Like, and then you just go and you walk away being like, they say that to everyone. I think they say that to everyone.
Paid a lot of money for that.
I got a journal.
You could journal.
I gotta go journal.
And so you are 100% honest with your journal? I mean, I know you joked earlier about lying and then going back.
No, I am 100% honest, but I've learned over the years and through a failed marriage that you don't write everything you're feeling about wanting that marriage to end in your journal. You don't do that.
Does that person then find that journal?
Yep. Said person finds said journal.
But ultimately, isn't that good?
Yeah, I think so. I think the...
'Cause my feeling is... if you don't want to hear stuff, don't fucking read someone's personal.
Right.
Like, that's...
Exactly. My biggest thing was always, like, you are catching me writing this thing at a time where that's, like, it's coming out in a way that is just expression and for me to, like, get through it. So you're kind of taking it out of context. It's not like I'm sitting there all day long, like, I hate that person, I hate that. It's like, that in the moment is what's bothering me, and I'm just getting it out so that I can move on with my life and... or, you know, with my day. So
yeah.
It's like someone reads it out of context. It's like, no, that's not my like constant state of being of thinking I hate you.
Yeah.
It's just that in that moment, you really pissed me off and I had to write about it.
But not everyone understands that.
Nobody understands it. In fact, I don't think like one person who's like read my journal has understood that. But then I can always come back at them like, why would you read it? And they're like, why do you leave it open on the kitchen table? I'm like, well, I do that. I've done that before. I just leave it around. I think my cleaning lady loves what she reads in there.
I am the type of person that would not, I would not, if I saw that, I would close it.
Because me too.
I know there are things that, first of all, same. Total violation. Number two, I don't want to know.
Right.
Like, if I get a pocket dial from someone,
oh my God, me too. Same.
I don't listen to them because I don't want to hear them go, and then that Chris Hardwick's a piece of shit. Like, I don't want to hear it.
Me too. I'm the same. I'm the exact same. Like, everyone asks me all, like, because my husband also, like, keeps a journal, but it's on his computer. And I could go in there, like, do you ever want to read it? I'm like, why would I ever want to read that? Why would I ever do that to somebody? Never, ever, ever, ever would I want to know. No.
It's not information. I mean, unless in a situation where I feel like if a marriage is going to end.
Yeah.
I mean, if you felt like there was a chance, then maybe that was it. But if it was really right. Like, well, this is really going to end, then maybe it was kind of a weird blessing. But yeah. Still a horrible violation to read someone's personal
it's
thoughts.
Terrible. I mean, I did actually throw away a full journal right before my divorce because I was like, because my brain was going like, we're at such a bad place that I have written about all of this and it's all from my point of view, which is terrible for him. And my thing was, I went into this whole thing like, if I die and this is the last thing he reads or he reads this, he's going to feel like awful. He's going to think I'm the most terrible person and he's going to like, it's going to kill him.
But then you'll be dead.
Very, very valid point.
And then you can haunt him over his bed.
Oh, I didn't really go there with it. Now I wish I had.
Died?
No, the haunting thing. I'm so going to haunt people. I'm going to haunt the shit out of people.
Well, I mean, ghosts are fairly obsessive compulsive.
Yeah, they are.
Same
they are.
Things
they love
over
a routine.
And over again.
They love a routine. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ghosts will eat the same breakfast for centuries. They'll haunt the shit out of some grape nuts or whatever it is.
I used to love grape nuts when they would get all mushy with honey.
I liked them right before they got mushy. So they weren't, it wasn't the tooth-breaking consistency from when you first were like, I'd stab my throat.
Yeah.
My food stabbed my throat. But when they're too mushy, then it's just like oatmeal.
Right.
But right before, where there's a little bit of crunch.
I think I'm with you on that. I do love the old-fashioned shredded wheat, though, when you put like the butter back when I ate butter and sugar back when I ate sugar and milk back when I ate milk.
You ate milk? Yeah. Maybe that was the problem.
I did. Why was it so crunchy?
Don't eat it in blocks. You're supposed to. That's a liquid. That's the problem. You're eating spoiled milk.
That's it. My mother's breast milk was spoiled.
Your brother's milk was spoiled. Yeah. That's why ladies keep their boobs
in the
fridge.
That's why it is.
Yeah. They have to keep them cold the whole time. Why do you think, would you consider yourself an obsessive person?
100%. I won't even let, like, I don't even, I know that, like, I've known that since I was a kid.
So how do you, because, you know, I have it a little bit, but I don't think it's as bad for me as it is for some people. But I do know, and part of it is, for me, it's energy distribution.
Right.
And so if I were to start building up patterns that start getting in the way of things, I'm like, I don't have the energy for this.
Right, right, right.
Fine.
Oh, that's good.
Whatever's
going to
happen
good.
Is going to happen
good.
And I'm not going to control it.
Yeah. I do that with certain things. Like, it's very interesting that I need everything to be clean in the house, but my car and my closet can be a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
But then I obsess about it being a disaster and I think my whole life's out of control because those things are a disaster and then I pay someone to clean it, which is terrible.
You know, it could be... It could be because my mom has this thing where her house is immaculate.
Mm.
I mean, immaculate.
Mine too.
But like a couple of the closets, like that's just where shit goes. And
right.
I'm like, you don't think that's sort of a weird emotional mirror of the image that you present to the world versus like the shit that you're not dealing with inside?
That's exactly it. That's like, I mean, growing up in a New England family, that's it. Everything's polished and perfect on the outside and inside. Everyone's just fucking dying and hating themselves. That's my family. I love them, but that's my family. That's what I grew up with. So I think that I definitely inherited a little bit of that.
You came by it honestly.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So then is your...
Like, I'll cry the whole car ride home from here.
Why would you do that?
Just because. There's so much to cry about. There is so much to cry about.
I mean, come on.
I got a lot going on in here.
Now, are your... would those tears be global tears of like, oh, the world is a horrible place? Or is it something specific about this happened in my life? Or I wasn't able to control this thing?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm not, like, pumped about Fukushima, but, I mean, yes, I'm definitely going to be crying about me. I definitely don't go on a macro scale with it.
You should be pumped for Fukushima, bro. You should be pumped.
I'm sweating again.
I'm sorry.
I'm sweating again. Right, the right one's kicking in. The right one's kicking in. Everybody, dog.
Sorry, I didn't mean to pick up the slack. It's a problem though, is when you wear those loose.
You wear the loose. It's not great, and it's not a great blend. It's not breathable. It looks breathable. It's not breathable.
What do you think your biggest obstacle is?
Myself.
You think so?
Yeah, for sure.
So most of your...
I'm the only person getting in my way.
Well, at least you know that, though. Yeah. At least you know that. But most people don't.
It's exhausting because I can actually step back and watch myself or read about what I've written and be like, you're fucking doing it again. I have gone back in journals from like 10 years ago and been like, oh my God, that's the same, basically almost verbatim, the same entry I've written like last night.
Isn't
and I'm
that
still
kind of weirdly
obsessing.
Comforting, though?
It's weirdly comforting to be like, oh good, I'm still the same person. Yeah. But it's also like, wow, I'm not over that yet. I'm right. still obsessing about that? Or why am I? It's just, it's fascinating to me. So I watch myself do everything that I do. And I'm just like, are you kidding me? Again?
I think you should be pleased that you're not a narcissist, because a true narcissist would never accept any responsibility for anything that happened to
That's
them.
That's true.
So, I mean, a lot of people think narcissists, I think narcissism has become, for some people, at least colloquially, synonymous with, you're self-centered. And it's right. so much more than
it's
that. Like clinical
so
narcissism is you literally can't accept any responsibility. No. It's everyone else's fault.
Totally.
And you have to be the set. You have to create to be the center of everything.
Right. World's out to get you.
But even though you're creating a lot of the stuff, you put it off on everything
right.
else around you. That thing
totally.
Did this. And I never, I don't, you know.
Yeah. No.
So at least you're not that.
No, that's true. But I know all these things about myself, and then I don't change them. I change big things. I mean, I've done some major changes. I ended up, whatever, I had mono, and that was because of something. That jumped. In my brain,
it's
I just
really
explained
good for
that.
You to change to not having mono.
In my brain, I explained all of that, and then I just said mono. That happens a lot with me. I explained everything. Yeah. Anyway, I've changed a lot, but there's certain things that I don't change, and I'm like, oh my God, really? Okay. I mean, awareness is great, but if you don't do anything about it, it's kind of shit.
Well, I mean, that's sort of the double-edged sword of having the brain that allows you to have that perspective on yourself,
right.
but also almost feeling attacked by it or trapped
yeah.
by it
yeah.
at the same time. But you know, there's something really comforting in when you reestablish those patterns of being able to go, oh, this is a thing. It's
right.
not real. It's just
true.
A thing I do.
True.
It's just a setting.
True. But to be able to break that and actually be able, so you can say that, but then to actually go, okay, now I'm going to change that thought and I'm going to go and take like the opposite action from that. That's a hard thing to do.
Yeah. Because
you're so used to it that it almost becomes like this, like it almost becomes like a part of you that you're like, oh no, that's how I handle it. When really that's the worst way to handle things, but you've been handling it that way forever, that you think that that's how you're supposed to handle it, but it doesn't get you anywhere.
What do you think would happen if you changed one little thing in your pattern every day just to show yourself that you could change?
I've tried it. Did not a good outcome.
What happens?
I
killed someone.
Have you ever seen Dexter? Because I'm similar to him. No, I did change some things. And I have weird things where I'm convinced that if I drink out of it, like if I have a good day. Now, I know this is crazy,
right.
but if I have a really good day and I'm like, ooh, I drank out of a different cup that day, I'm going to drink out of that cup again tomorrow, and then I have another good day, I will fucking kill someone if they drink out of that cup.
Sure.
And that's mine.
Yeah.
That's my good day cup.
Yeah.
I'm always looking for the formula for a good day.
Yeah.
Because it can go to shit real quick.
Absolutely.
Especially after lunch.
Okay. So these are, but these are just control issues.
No, for sure.
Because you're basically, it's the ritualistic pattern
exactly.
to make sure that the locusts don't come. or whatever. It's almost like it's basically like emotional witchcraft.
Yeah, that's that's good.
Where it's like, oh, if I create this spell,
mm-hmm.
then this will happen. Mm-hmm. And that sort of gives you
That's true. Look how we just came full circle. I mean, a circuitous route, but we got there.
Yeah, we're there.
Back to the witches.
We're back to witches and Salem, which is coming back season
yeah.
two on WGN.
Why do you know that?
I know a lot of things that
That's
I don't
good.
Know what to do with.
I have a lot of tattoos, but I have a really shitty one on my lower back, which everyone who sees it is like, you're Wiccan. It's a Wiccan star. It's terrible. I drew it in like 5 seconds. It was my first tattoo. It's the weirdest. Like, it's like a star with all these things coming out. It's terrible. It's like a Wiccan symbol.
But what does it mean to you?
It was a thing that I always drew And so I was like, I need to get this on my body.
Well, I think that's reasonable. But if it's on your back, you can't see it.
No, I can't. But others can. And it's always one of those things. Like, I'm sure it's a very distracting thing. Like, the Wiccan. Like, it's not great.
Well, I think I was just sort of thinking of like the worst tattoos you could get on your lower back. And I think one would be a
that says right here.
That would be very bad. Yeah. That's, you know, that's way better than what I was going to say. I realized mine was something a 15-year-old would say.
Oh, I was going there even more.
Yeah, mine was. All right.
Oh, you can't now.
You
have to now.
Now I have
you
to.
You have to.
Basically, if you saw.
Oh, boy. What? Just a bullseye?
If you. No. No.
Now my leg is sweating, by the way. I'm just letting you know. It's like things are really heating up over here.
So this is the body and, you know, like, let's say.
Oh, boy.
This is sort of the half shirt. And
so you do a lot of drawing.
It would be the tattoo of like a piece of poop coming up from the pant line.
Wait. But why would someone that's first of all, that's physically impossible to poop that way.
It's not. I've had new parents tell me their babies shit up their own backs all the time.
Because a baby's lying down. But like I just picked, like I guess if you were up against a wall upside down, you could shit against your own back.
Still working on it is the question.
Really. No, please flesh it out. Flesh
really
it out.
I want to make sure
for that gallery opening.
Right.
Get it going. I saw a girl with a tattoo.
Tattoos?
I saw a girl with a lower back tattoo that said only God can judge me, just right above. It's like, okay. That was a little intense.
It's sort of religious but sort of buttfucky at the same time.
It's sort of buttfucky. It's sort of like, I'm going to do this. I'm doing this, and while you're doing me doing this.
Yeah.
You can't judge me.
Only the Lord.
Only the Lord is judging over us. But why did she need to bring God into it?
Hey, do me a favor. Don't come on my God judge tattoo. Do you feel weird if you come on the word God? Like, are you like, oh,
I'm sure so many people have aimed for it. So many people have aimed it where they're like, I'm going to get this right on the God. Right in the O.
Right in the O.
Right in the O. That's where I was picturing as a girl right now.
Yeah.
My brain was going, get in the fucking O.
Get in the O.
That's my obsessive.
Get in the O.
Yeah, that's it.
Hey, this is a weird question, but do you ever, because sometimes as a guy, it's like, oh, it'd be great if I didn't, ejaculating is such a weird thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you ever think as a woman, you're like, oh, it'd be fun to be able to do that like
oh
once
my
or twice?
God,
or do you
yeah.
think it,
of course.
Really?
Well, I just found out that, and I say out like a Canadian, but yeah. Nobody knows that New Hampshire people say it like that.
Right,
we
right,
say
right.
out and we say mom, so let's just get
what'd
past
you find
that
out?
I just found out that a lot of women judge a guy on how far they can
oh, really?
Shoot it. I didn't know
Well, there's
know
a
this.
Lot of factors.
I didn't know this. They're like I, just these women I was talking to and there was a boob circle involved and that was a weird thing for me.
I'm sorry, what?
These women, okay, so first of all, I don't have very many friends, as I'm sure through all of this you can tell.
No, I didn't know. I couldn't tell.
But I don't have many girlfriends at all. I grew up with brothers. I don't relate to women very well at all. So I have two very good female friends, but one of them is very like spiritual. And she's like, for her birthday, I was like, I did something that was like so out of my comfort zone. And I was like, let's have a party at my house with all your friends and invite them. Cause I don't have any. And so she invited all these women who were very like spiritual and like in their bodies and very like women. Now I'm from New England and played hockey. And I just like, that's not my thing. So we go out on my deck and they're like, let's do a boob circle. And I'm like, a pardon?
What is that?
What's that? Where you get really close to these other women and you just touch boobs and you kind of like do an ohm type thing.
Okay.
I think they made it up in this moment.
Did they just to punk you or something?
I don't know, but they were very serious about it. It was actually like a really nice, cause she's such like this, my friend Leah is an amazing woman. And so everyone was just like celebrating her. And I wish there had been a camera on me because everyone was like really getting into it. And I'm like, I'm so uncomfortable. I hate being hugged by people. Like, this was so uncomfortable for me.
And at that moment, you really wanted to ejaculate.
that moment, I was like, if I could just come all over their faces, this would be amazing. Or pull those tits out and let me fucking get after it. I would love, because these girls had really big boobs, and I'm sitting there like, let's just get them out there, like trying. And they had really big boobs, and I was, and yeah, there was a moment where I was like, I bet they get cum all over them.
I would imagine, I mean, I imagine everyone at some point has,
oh, for sure.
has, you know,
oh,
if
for
you
sure.
have a, if you had some sex in your life,
if you had any sex,
then that
at
least
all.
Happened. But, you know, back to the firing range thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of factors.
No, there is.
That determine.
I know.
It's, you know, like it's how long since the last time.
Right.
You know.
But I remember when I found that out, because it wasn't so recent that I then started judging, because this is when I was a little bit single for a while after the divorce, and I was like kind of judging, and I was like, I watched myself being like, oh. That wasn't very far.
What are all those hash marks in a straight line up your stomach?
I would get out a ruler and be like, just stay right where you are. I just need to get a ruler. No, I would. I remember I would just start like being like, that's not. And then someone hit the backboard and I was like, you win. You win. I don't like you though. You're gross. Get the fuck out.
Hit the backboard. Were they trying to bank it off onto you?
It was a thing where it was like, and then they were
like
trying.
A layup?
Yeah. It was a layup. Yep. Yeah. No, that was a good time.
Did you like being single?
I did. Kind of. I don't know.
It's weird.
It's really weird.
Yeah, it's odd.
It's weird because I think, well, I'm always just like, then you have to go through the whole, like, get to know you. And then you put on that fake thing of like, this is who I wish I were. And then when someone gets to know you, they're like, ooh.
Yeah, you're basically in the beginning of a relationship. You're your Instagram feed.
Oh, my God. That's a great way to put it.
Which
that's
is
perfect.
This is the image ideal. Right. This is your matrix image ideal.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then when people, I had someone say to me, who was very close to me and was with me for a very long time, say, you're great and you can go cheat on me. You can go do all that, but just know they'll return you.
Whoa.
And I was like, oh my God, that's every fear I have. You just nailed it. And I like believed that for a long time. I was like, I'm awful because I'm an actor. So I put on this thing, but then when you really get to know me, I mean, I show who I really am right up front today.
That's good though.
So much sweat.
No, but I think that's good.
Yeah.
It's good because it's honest, and not only is it honest, but I guarantee you, particularly people who listen to this podcast, there are a lot of people who are similar. And I think a lot of people maybe who haven't come to terms with their obsessive natures yet and sort of feel weird or out of place or broken.
Embrace that shit. I mean, I know I'm broken as fuck, but I embrace it at least. Because
maybe you're not as broken as you think you are because you embrace it.
I think that's true.
Crazy people don't know they're crazy. Do you know what I mean?
That's
like,
true.
They don't have the awareness. They just go, well, I don't know why everyone around me is freaking out.
Yeah, that's true.
So I don't think it's as bad. I don't think as bad.
You're right.
But I do think that, you know, it's good. I mean, you know, obviously you want to try to, because I think the older you get, if you don't keep some of that stuff in check, like
it's
you don't want to be overtaken by it.
Oh, my God. No, like I just turned 34. Happy birthday!
There we go.
Happy birthday, Eliza.
Eliza.
Yeah, it was on the 6th.
The 6th of April?
6th of April.
Happy birthday!
There we go.
Happy birthday!
There it is. So enthusiastic.
I got you.
You got me the water.
A pony and a water nub.
I'm terrified of ponies, so do not.
But it's an adorable Shetland pony with a human face.
Why
is that so terrifying?
Why so specific?
Because I want you
really
to have
know
the best.
Me. You really know me.
Yeah.
You know me.
Here it is. Please kill me. Please end my life. I had a family.
I turned 34 and I was like, oh shit, I'm still doing some of the same stuff. Like going back and reading journals and being like, oh yeah, I need to change. And then it's like, once after like 5 years of being like, I need to change. And then one day you're just like, yeah, today's the day. I'm going to do it. And then you do not drink out of that cup again. You do have a shitty day because you like manifest it, but then you do change.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just getting past that barrier. It's like getting past anything. It's basically like getting out of any kind of a bad relationship. Yes. I mean, ultimately, you have a relationship with your patterns.
Totally.
So
that's exactly
so
it.
So it's how do you break up with your patterns? And it's going through the pain of loss and the pain of like, but you know that once you get past it, you're okay. It's just having to basically get squeezed through the rocks.
Totally.
Before you come out on the other side.
It's probably the best thing that ever happened to me was going to, I had to do, I did a movie in China.
Yeah.
And I had to go to China. Now, I packed one suitcase with all my clothes and one suitcase with all my things that I need for my morning time, which there are tools involved.
Like, okay.
Certain cooking tools and things that I needed.
You brought cooking tools with you?
I brought my own stuff.
Well, yeah.
And I brought my own, like, protein powders and my own this and that. And I, like, brought my own, like, almond milk. Meanwhile, you can get that there.
Sure.
But I was so, like, I was like, I'm going to make everything exactly as it is at home because I'm going to be here for a month and I need to do this. All of that went out the window, and it was the greatest thing that could have ever – I mean, I hyperventilated on a nightly, like, basis. But I had to – and I got sick, and I got, like, parasites, and, like, everything went wrong.
In China?
In China. I even brought a spatula to China.
What?
I did.
That's – you didn't touch your vagina with it.
I did. What? I just shoved it right up my vagina.
What?
It was weird. It was weird. But it did feel great in the end on the way out. I just experienced that in my head as I said it. And I know none of you needed to hear that. But in my brain, I was like, we're going to go.
We're going to finish this.
Because if it's up there, it's going to come out.
It's got to come out.
And it's got to be better coming out than coming out.
Yes, you can't just leave it in there. Yeah. That's not safe.
It's not sanitary.
No, not at all. Front door or back door. You got to be careful.
No. I don't know that I don't think I would put a spatula in the old back door. I don't. A rubber, like a full rubber one, maybe.
Someone has.
Someone's doing it right now.
Right. They're hey, what are you doing with that? You know, we should just like talk to that person because even if it's just one person, they will flip the fuck out.
How's that spatula feel?
Just take that spatula out of your
butt.
How's
it going? Just turn it a little bit.
Just twist it. Just twist it lightly.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, no. Pull it out and put it in the other way.
Put it in the small way.
Put it in the small way.
Because you know
way.
The rubber spatula is there. I really say it like spatula. There's like the big end and the small end.
Yeah.
So keep the big one up there.
Keep the big one up there.
Pull it out real quick. Pull
well,
it out real
be careful.
Quick.
You the back door, you got to be careful.
You got to be careful.
You don't want to prolapse your
Oh.
No.
Oh. I've seen a dog have that happen.
Oh.
Bad news.
Hey, so your butthole, is it an innie or an outie? It should be an innie, right? Outie is bad? Should I go to the doctor?
You don't even know. The laughing and the sweating, and now there's so much sweat, and this is going to be... It's going
to
be great.
But what do you have to do tonight? Basically, it's 7 o'clock. You're going to go to bed in 50 minutes.
I'm going to... So much to do. I gotta drink that kombucha before I go to bed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love a kombucha.
What?
Shit gets me crazy.
Really? I haven't had what's good about it?
It's really good for you, first of all, because fermented foods are great for your digestion, and they're just amazing for you.
Okay. Are there probiotic things
probiotics,
in it? Okay.
Yes. Acidophilus.
Okay.
Bifidus. Mm-hmm. Prebiotics as well, mm-hmm. I think. I don't know. I shouldn't say that. I think there's prebiotics and probiotics.
But fuck. Who cares?
Fuck it. Whatever. Well,
you're not a doctor.
Yeah.
No one's
yeah.
going to hold you responsible.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Don't do what I do.
Yeah.
People, as you've learned from all of this. And it makes me, I don't drink, so it gets me I get drunk off of them.
Yeah.
And by drunk, I mean like my arms go a little numb, which I'm not sure that that's
Did you ever?
I did.
Yeah, me too.
It was 10 years ago I drank.
Not uncommon for obsessive people to try to make the voices stop.
Oh, I needed it to stop so bad. There's so many things that I've quit. I decided to quit everything in one day. That's where the mono came from. Not the drinking. The drinking had been quit long ago.
What did you quit in one day?
I quit smoking.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a really shitty habit with some Adderall, and I decided to get off that.
Okay.
And then I quit that. And then I also, I was drinking so much coffee.
Now, a lot of healthcare professionals would tell you not to do all that at once.
Everyone told me, maybe you don't get off all those uppers in one day. And yeah. I was like, no, I'm good. I'm good. And then I passed out. And then I got mono. And this was like 4 years ago. Wow. And it was like, mono, so come to find out your spleen gets real big when you have mono and you shouldn't exercise. But again, another obsessive thing that I have to exercise on a broken ankle and when I have mono.
Fuck you, spleen.
Exactly. Fuck you, body. That's basically what I was saying. We're going to take all these things that you become dependent upon. We're going to take them out all at the same time. You're going to get sick. But here's the thing. This is going to get weird. Can I get weird?
Please.
Okay. So I have this like kind of like rule with myself that I can like make anything happen with myself. Mm-hmm. So that sounded weird. I knew that the only way I'd quit smoking, because I was up to like a pack a day. It was real gross. And I knew the only way I would quit smoking is if I got sick. So I literally I looked up and I was just like, all right, whatever is up there. The only way that I'm going to quit smoking is if I get really sick with like a strep throat type of thing. A week later, I had mono.
That's amazing.
And I've done that to myself before.
I do think it's possible to manifest those types
For
of things
sure.
because I think, you know, your body is a collection of of molecules and some work outside your conscious mind. And so you, it's sort of like noticing a color all of a sudden, or hearing a song and going, I hear it all the time. Like, your body will seek that stuff out if you want it.
If you need it. And it may be for like a, just a period of time. But like, I think every time this is my opinion. Again, it's my opinion. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not anything. I mean, I'm something. Let's not get too mean about me. But I think that every time I get sick, I have to like check in and be like, okay, do you need to be sick right now? What do you need to be sick for right now? Like, what is it in your life that you need to be sick for right now?
Okay.
And I, every time I check in, I'm like, I'm trying to avoid something, or I've totally run myself down and I'm not giving myself a break. So my body's like, okay, are you going to sleep now? Cause we need you to sleep. It's been like 8 days. You haven't slept. So I think every time I get sick, it's like, I'm not really sick.
So do you, you think it's completely psychosomatic?
I do. Because I'm not, I'm so freaking healthy now. There's no reason that I would get sick, and nobody around me is sick. So when I get sick, it's kind of like, I need to slow down.
And maybe take a break. Are you, do you, this is sort of a heavy question, which please, again, don't answer this if you don't want to. Do you think you deserve to be happy?
I think, yes, I do.
Well, that's good.
I do. I think I do deserve to be happy. I think for a long time I didn't, though. So I think that I thought that I deserved just all, like, I think that I was creating all these patterns and things in my life to kind of like sort of create a happiness, because I could find happiness in routine.
Yeah.
But I don't think that I was like ever really allowing myself to live, because I was maybe afraid. Maybe I just went off like that. Then
no,
that's
no, keep
go.
Going. Keep going.
I feel like I was afraid to actually live, because the fear of something happening to make me unhappy was greater than the desire to actually try to be happy.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
Yes, of course. You're basically living in preventative.
I was living in preventative measures. So
that's right.
I was living in a place of, if I drink out of this thing, if I do this thing, if I have this, if I do this, if I bring all my stuff to China, everything will be okay and I'll be fine, as opposed to letting go and being like, well, what's an amazing new experience I could have right now that I don't even know about? And that, I think, is like where I'm at now. And I think in my, you know, before I got divorced, it was like I really thought that I was the most terrible person in the world. When that thing ended, I was just like, he hates me. I'm terrible. I deserve all of this. And I think for a long time, I was just like, I don't deserve anything. I'm going to give him everything. I'm going to give everything, and I'm going to do everything for everyone else because I deserve to be miserable. And now I'm kind of getting over that.
I would hope so.
I am.
I mean, you can't live. You can technically live that way.
You can, but it's a bit like, I watch like people in New England who live like that all the time. It's a bit like a martyr. Like then they take it to martyrdom, like where it's a little bit like, I don't deserve anything. Everything's for you. Not only that's not where I'm at.
Well, it's also not healthy. Like,
no,
like,
it's terrible.
Making yourself unhappy for someone else.
Yeah.
It doesn't do anyone any good.
No.
At all.
No. And you, yeah, that's true.
Because it doesn't, because then you're not in a good state of mind to contribute to a healthy relationship.
Right. Well, trying to make someone else happy is also the worst thing you could possibly
do. No, you cannot make a person happy.
Yeah. And I'm kind of convinced you can't. Yes, you can make people hate you, sure. But I don't think you have the power to actually really make someone hate you or make someone like you. Kind of.
You think that's...
I think you have the power to actually like manipulate the situation and come off in a certain way. But I don't think like that's still on them.
Sure.
So if they're happy, that's on them. If they're not happy, that's on them. I didn't cause it.
You know, some of that's also like outside of going up to people and being like, your fucking face smells.
Your face smells?
Your face smells really good.
I'm going to steal that.
Please, by all means.
Thank you.
Is that, you know, a lot of that's just chemistry. You know, like some people just get along. Other people
it's so
and
true.
You can't make.
I know.
Some people are, you know.
I know. There's some people that I talk to and I'm like, I'll be talking to them and I'll be like, people like love this person. I'm like, I'm so bored with talking to you right now. Nothing you're saying is interesting, but I'm going to smile and nod because I'm supposed to like you. And it's so, then when you meet someone that you really get along with and you're like, I want to talk to this person forever. And then I don't know. That's just different.
Do you guys go out ever? Well, no. Probably not you're in at bed at 8.
No, we never go out.
Do you go out to dinners or anything?
Nope.
Okay. Would you want to? Is that the kind of thing you guys want to do, or is just your schedules?
I think he travels the world. Like, he's like travels the world to everywhere. So he's like fine staying in Malibu all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm usually working, although I'm taking a little break right now from acting. So, yeah. I'm kind of just there writing all the time.
Right.
So I'm kind of like, I could get out, I could go do something, but then it's like the witching hour of like 8 o'clock. It's like, we've got to be in bed. So
you'd have to go to dinner at 5 at like a Perkins with when the old people,
right. Or like a Cafe Gratitude. Where
right.
It's like, yeah.
Cafe Gratitude.
He's vegan. My husband's vegan.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, so he loves a Cafe Gratitude.
Are you?
I am vegan only because I just got all this blood work back, and they're like, you can barely eat anything. So,
really?
Yeah, it kind of sucks. Like, things that I was like, so I was eating an avocado a day. Like, that's supposed to be good for you. It's supposed to be great for you. Everyone tells you it's great. I'm allergic to avocados, like highly reactive to avocados.
So what was happening that you were able to do that for so long? And then
I ignored all, because everyone was like, that's so good for you.
Half your face is swollen up. I can't see your eyeball. I'm fine.
I'm fine. This is the good fat.
Guac is
great.
It's the
good fat.
Yeah.
But I really did believe that. And so I was walking around with a stomach ache all the time. And I was like, no, I'm good. I'm good. It's a really good fat. Give me another avocado. Like, I was convinced. Even though I researched the shit out of everything that goes in my body, not everything, but
right.
Every,
but most,
I mean, I think now, yeah, if I were single again, I'd research those people.
You have to.
I would, because
and every spatula that goes in your body.
I researched the shit out of spatulas.
Well, that's the other thing that's really scary about dating, is that basically, you know, we're fucking HPV nation.
I know.
Now, where it's,
I know,
you know, someone just looks at you the wrong way and you're like, well, I guess you got HPV
yep,
now.
That's it. I got it. I got it.
Yeah.
No, I know. I've been so dumb. I've been so dumb. Thinking back on how dumb I was. Oh, God, I was so dumb.
But you survived. And you wouldn't
I
do
did.
It again. You wouldn't do
I don't have a vagina
again.
Anymore, but I've survived.
What?
It rotted off.
What? It rotted off?
It rotted right the fuck off.
I mean, why don't you just stretch your prolapse anus around to the front?
Funny you should say that. I do that. It's so funny you would say that. We're so similar that we would go think in that same way, because that's what I did.
I'm a lapsy too.
I'm a lapsy. I'm a lapsy.
I'm a lapsy. Like you're a lapsy too.
Aww. Join the lapsy group on
Be
Facebook.
A lapsy. Yeah. Do you have a prolapsed anus? Meet singles just like you. It's so weird.
Funny.
Yeah, that's I don't, you know, I'm not proud of where my brain goes a lot
mine
of the time.
Mine goes there so much that I've had to stop, and the movie I'm writing right now is the character goes there so much that like when I'm writing, I come out from writing and the way I talk to people, it's like I wrote an email to my agency the other day and I was just like, whoa, calm down. You can't say that. Can't say that. That's way too many like anatomy parts in an email. Yeah.
Was it because you grew up with were your parents? Did your parents have a weird sense of humor?
Oh yeah, my dad is one of the funniest people in the world. But he had a rule that only when we were like doing carpentry work or playing hockey could we talk dirty, which never carried over. He talked all the time, but when he built everything at our house too, so I would help him like build the deck or whatever, and we were out there, we could talk about, we could say every swear word, we could just talk crazy, and on the rink we could too because my dad flooded the side lawn, so we had a rink.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
That's pretty genius.
Yeah, it's great. He went out. He was crazy. He would like set the alarm and go out and flood it at like 2 a.m. when it was like the coldest. And then he even made the red and blue line with food coloring. It was pretty great.
That's amazing. And that's also a really great idea to get your kids to do chores. Like you can swear.
Right.
If you do while you're doing chores.
Oh, I loved it. I was just like, fuck shit, dick, ass, cunt. I was just like hammering shit. Like,
that sounded like a cheer. fuck shit, dick, ass, cunt.
It's one of my new songs.
That's on your upcoming album?
On my upcoming album called Lapsy.
Lapsy, yeah. What's lapsinin?
what's a lapsinin?
What's a lapsinin? I'm a pro. Laps.
I got it. I was with you. I was so with you on that.
Yeah.
But yes, brothers, all my brothers' friends. So many boys. I grew up with so many boys. And I never wanted to be the girl that just couldn't take a joke because it was so exhausting. I'd see it all the time. Never wanted to be that girl.
Was it strange? Like, how many brothers?
Two. But then all of their friends.
But so, all of their friends. So did that fuck with your gender identity? Like being around so many?
So funny you're saying that. Yes. I was such a tomboy. I had a bowl cut and shaved hockey sticks in the back of my head. I did.
That's awesome.
I did. I was such a jock, like tomboy. And I wanted to be with my older brother and all his friends so much that I like was in their skateboarding club. I couldn't skateboard. I was in like every club, and they made me drink this like disgusting drink to be like initiated into the club. And it was every single thing in the fridge, like everything, things that are like baking soda that is just in there for like when people, like everything. And they like topped it off with mustard, and I had to drink the whole thing. And I've never had mustard to this day because that's what like triggered me to
throw
up everywhere.
But did you get to be in the club after that?
No, those motherfuckers never let me in.
Wasn't worth it then.
They didn't let me in. But we would all go swimming, and I would swim in swim trunks. And I was like, because I wanted to, like, I was like, I'm a boy. And yeah. I was so young at the time that it was like, well, you all look the same.
Well, when did you start? Like, at what was it weird then when you started?
When I fucked them all? When I got older? Was that weird for them? Maybe. Because they were always like, you're like a sister to me. And I'm like, great.
Who's not a boy now?
Let's see how far you can shoot it.
Fill in the hockey sticks in the back of my head.
Aim for the sticks.
Aim for the sticks.
I don't know why I was doing it like it was a hose. And why is it so big? For a little boy. That's awful.
Did you sleep with all your brother's friends?
A lot of them.
And did you feel like that was sort of a way to? I mean, listen, it's also possible.
Not
it's
a
like,
lot of them. A
hey,
couple.
It was fun to. You're young, and yeah. It's fun to screw around and yeah. Have fun. Did you feel like there was a weird dark motive in being that pathological about your brother's friends?
It was a little weird. My brother was really upset about it, and I still to this day feel pretty bad about it. But I was like, I idolized them, and like they were all like they were like my brother, and they were so hot, they were so good looking at that time. I was just like, I have this thing though where I'm just like, I need to get what I want, especially when it came to men. So I was like, well, gonna get them. Like if I decide I want something, then I get it. So even as I was kind of like when I got to the age where I actually like knew that I was attracted to anybody, I was just like, okay, I want him, on him, on him. And I didn't sleep with all of them, but I definitely made out with every single one of them.
Yeah. And yeah. Did they all know?
Oh, for sure. I mean, it was like, you know, it was like drunk New Hampshire parties in like the woods.
It wasn't like
a nice, like on The Bachelor when they go into the suite and there's like, you know, flowers and shit.
Right.
It wasn't like, here we go. It wasn't that premeditated or calculated, but it was definitely, yeah. And I drank a lot back then. And so I would just, but I was a real happy drunk.
Did you, were you empowered by that or did you feel bad about it?
No, I never felt bad about it
because
I watched other friends and like I made a note. I was like, never be that girl and never be that girl, and never be that girl. Because I watched so many of my friends hook up with my brother's friends. And then I would hear them talk about her because I was always around. And I was such a dude that they just treated me like one of them. So I would hear what they would say about these girls. And then I'd hear the girl side of it. And they'd be like, oh my God, we had sex and I love him and I think I'm in love with him. I'm like, oh my God, they're like, just talking about how they just fucked you. And it's like that. So I learned very quickly, like how a man thinks at a young age and how a girl thinks at a young age.
Horrible double standard.
Terrible.
The worst.
Terrible. And I was like, okay, I never want to be her. So I just never let myself get attached to anybody. So I was like, I became like the dude. I was like, let's go. Let's do this. Now get out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Cause I didn't ever want to be put in that vulnerable situation. And cause I would watch my friends and I'd be like, that's heartbreaking. And then I'd listen to my brother and I couldn't help but laugh because some of the stuff they were saying was pretty funny, but it was like, it was degrading and terrible and mean. And I was like, I never want to be somebody who's having, I would rather them be saying, oh, she never called me back. I really liked her. Like, I would rather them feel.
Did you ever speak up about it or were you like really just wanted their approval? So you didn't say like, you're being fucking dicks.
I never said anything. And I feel bad now that I never said anything. Instead, I was like, it was like silent revenge. I was like, okay, well, I'm going to fuck you and make you fall in love with me. And then I'm going to walk away.
Oh, like shit.
Yeah,
that is warfare.
Really
that's amazing though.
And it wasn't necessarily like that. I fucked them. It was that like I was like, well, I'm gonna hook up with you and I'm gonna not call you back. I'm gonna make you feel that.
That's kind of cool, actually.
It's kind of cool. I was also hurt real bad by a guy, so that's why that probably came into play too. But it was definitely seeing those, and I was like, I was very cautious of like. And conscious of like, I don't ever want to be that girl that I'm being talked about like that. I want people to talk about, like, I want those guys to talk about me like, oh, we really liked her. And I wanted them to like me for not just like my body. I wanted them to be like, she's really cool and she's smart and fun and she can play hockey and she's great. I wanted to be like much more than like, because these girls were thinking that like, they just found like their true love. And these guys were thinking like on to the next. And I was like, I never want to be the on to the next ever.
So you beat
I want them,
them
to be obsessed
you,
with me.
You beat them to the punch.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of control issues right there because you're trying to control.
Yeah, I just revealed so much about myself that
was really interesting,
I was a little – and I think that it's only it's really only now that I've actually realized that I stopped doing that only a few years ago. Like, it was almost like I was so manipulative because I never wanted to be vulnerable, I think.
Sure. And you feel like you're better at that now?
Yeah.
That just comes with, you know, that just comes with getting experience and gaining wisdom. And you know, it's dangerous because you don't want to hold on to that stuff forever.
No.
Because those people become very fucked up.
Those people
and
end up alone.
Sure.
You know, they're going to be alone because they're going to always play that game. And I don't know, it's like, it's kind of cute when you're younger and it's fun. But when you hit like 34, like where I was like, or not 34, like a couple years ago, I was just like, oh yeah, you can't do that anymore. That's kind of fucked up. And it's kind of really mean. Like, you can't, it's not cute anymore.
Well, the best you can do is learn from whatever you think your mistakes are.
And journal about it.
What do you think is the best? Is that the best thing that you got over doing? Is that the best? You know, like, what, when you're kind of listing in your victory column,
right?
Like, here's what I beat, or here's what I got over, here's what I'm better at. Is that at the top of the list, or are there other?
I think that and jealousy is at the top of the list. Like, jealousy. I used to be because I was super competitive. I mean, my dad taught me to be very competitive. It wasn't like an outright, like, go and beat everybody. It was just like, it was kind of like, I mean, I had, my younger brother was a professional cyclist. My dad was a semi-pro hockey player. My cousin was in the Olympics twice for ski jumping. Like, you don't do something kind of in my family.
Sure.
Like, you do something and you're great at it. And so I think, I mean, it's why I obviously said when I was 4 and then carried that through that I was going to be an actor. But I think it's kind of like, I got really competitive and would get like, nobody else could succeed, only me. Whereas now my whole thinking on that is different, where there's a lot of room at the top.
Sure.
Like, why be terrible to that person or that person, especially women, like in comedy or anything? It's like, no, let's all move up the ranks. Like,
yeah.
And I was never like that before. I was like, I wouldn't even talk to people. I was mean or I'd be nice to them. But inside I was like, I fucking hate you. And I had no reason to hate them. Just because they were doing something similar to me, but they weren't me and I wasn't them. So I didn't really have any ground to stand on with jealousy, because acting especially is basically, if you want this version of someone or you want that version, it's like, it's not like, once you get to a certain point, it's not about like who's better.
Right.
It's just what type you want.
Right.
So it took me a while to really learn that and go, oh, it's not. Okay. So being the best is different now.
You know, I think any performer, any actor who is essentially castrated by the audition process.
Oh, the worst.
Should get, like, make friends with a casting person and then just either sit in or watch casting tapes to really understand, like, sometimes there's nothing you can do.
Nothing.
Because you'll see people and you go, yeah, they did fine, but they're just not right for the thing. They didn't do anything wrong.
Absolutely.
Or, oh, that person was, yeah, like, you could see that they, you know, it just, they weren't feeling it that day or whatever.
Absolutely. Saying, I guess I'm like writing this movie right now, writing with my brother, and we're like, well, who would this person be like? Just to get an idea of like what the voice is, because we create like a new character. And it's funny, like, we'll toss out some of the biggest names just to get an idea. And I'm like, no, that person's not right. And it's like, if that person were to walk in, like, famous, super famous A-list person, and I would really look at them and be like, you're not right for that part. Like, I wouldn't be able to give that to them.
Hello, I'm Morgan Freeman. I would very much like to play the part of the girl who sleeps with all of her brother's friends.
Sold.
Oh, yippee.
It's a great Morgan Freeman.
Oh, you're very kind.
That's really good.
No, please. Shall I continue? Anyway.
Oh, why, when I laugh, I guess because I'm just sweating.
Mm-hmm.
It's laughter equals sweat.
You have the laugh sweats?
I have the laugh sweats.
Mm-hmm.
And the prolapses.
The prolapses. So adorable when you say it that way.
Prolapses.
I got the prolapses.
No. Oopsies. Prolapses.
Uh-oh. My butthole done come out of my body again.
My butthole fell out.
It falled out again.
Can you put back in?
Can you
grab the spatula.
Put back in. I want you to take the spatula that you used to pull it out and then just shove it back
in.
You shove that butthole right back
in. Hey, real quick, it falled out.
It falled out again. It looks like I got a tail.
I got a little skin tail.
It's weird.
I got an anus tail.
It's got a
I got a tail.
I got a tail.
It looks like innards.
I don't want to. Just roll it up.
Just roll it up. Shove it back in.
Shove it back
in. It doesn't hurt.
No.
It doesn't hurt.
It's like a party favor.
It's such a party favor.
Everybody.
blow on it. See if it makes a noise.
Ew, that feels weird.
Oh, it feels so soft, though. Tender skin.
I will never have to wipe my ass again. I can just squeeze it out.
That's it. I squeeze it out, wring it out, and tuck it right back
up. Right back up.
That's
in there.
Right. It's so sanitary.
It's economical.
It is.
It just makes, I'm saving money on toilet tissue.
That's right. I don't even buy it anymore.
I don't have to buy it anymore.
I just put my butt right up to the sink. I rinse it, clean it. I squeeze it like a dish rag, and then I shove it right back up.
What you're going to do is you're going to go down to the Hobby Lobby and get some of them pipe cleaners.
Yeah, if you don't want to pull it all the way out, you just shove those right up
right
there.
Up in there.
Right up there. That'll, and you know, that extra skin will just, it'll wrap around.
It's like exfoliating.
It's like an exfoliant.
Yeah, that's what it is.
That's it.
I think the best kind of ending to a podcast ever. I think the podcast just prolapsed.
That's it. Prolapse podcast.
It's so much fun. It's so much fun to have you on, and I think it's I think it'd be refreshing for people to hear.
I don't know.
It really is. I'm telling you. You know, because everyone in their own head thinks they're, you know, like, oh, I'm weird.
Oh, for sure.
I'm crazy. I'm not fixable. No one has my it. So, you know, when someone talks very frankly, and also not in a way that's like super dramatic.
Right.
It's like, look, this is just shit we deal with.
Right.
You know, you figure it out. You'll be fine. Don't just go easy on yourself. You know, it's such a hard lesson to learn about going easy on yourself.
It is. Oh, I'll beat the shit out of myself in the car on the way home about everything I just
don't
said.
You dare.
No, it's fine.
Please don't.
It's fine.
You're not allowed to.
I'll be fine.
I am an authority figure, and you are not allowed to beat yourself up after this podcast.
I'll just call you and reshare all of it with you. Is that cool?
That's totally fine.
Great.
You were to experience nothing but joy and happiness I mean, it's hard to be honest about how you feel about stuff. It's a very evolved place to be able to say, like, these are my flaws.
Right.
And you don't have to, you know, like them or don't, but this is who I am.
It's true.
I can tell, you want me to tell you some of my flaws?
Tell me two.
Two flaws?
Two. Aside from prolapse.
One thing that I've really tried to get over is being too, not empathetic. I'm a very empathetic person, but not to be empathic. In other words,
I'm the same.
When another you are of no use to someone in a relationship if you take on their thing, and it's because I think I learned from my mom that one of the ways that you show someone that you care about them is to feel what they're feeling.
I can't believe you're saying this.
Isn't that crazy?
Yes, that's exactly what I do. I will seriously. Somebody could be like. Like, I could walk into a room super, like, feeling great, and someone's like, I'm really tired. I'm like, yeah, I'm really tired, too.
See how much I'm tired?
Look how tired I am. I'm tired with you.
Yeah.
Do you feel better because I'm tired, too?
Yeah.
I do the same thing.
So it's sort of, yeah, and the truth of the matter is that doesn't help anyone.
No.
Because if someone else is feeling something, sometimes they just need you to listen.
Exactly.
And not have to put them through, like, right. Now I'm feeling this intense
and then
thing,
you're
too.
You're swimming around in the fucking muck.
Yes,
of it.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, together.
This is why it's very difficult for performers to be in relationships.
So true.
Is your husband a performer?
No.
Okay.
No.
He's
learning very quickly how difficult it is to be with a performer. Poor guy. He's really. We weren't together that long before we got married, and I think he's scared. I think he's like, oh no. Oh, this was real what she was talking about, what she said she was all fucked up.
Was the second wedding like a big deal?
We eloped.
Okay.
We got married at our kitchen table.
Oh, nice.
I was in sweatpants. They were dirty. I was like, look, you want to marry this? This is what's happening.
This is
what I will be wearing every day when I'm home.
That's fantastic.
Whatever.
Okay. So that thing, the empathy thing, and then, it's very difficult for me to get out of my own head sometimes. In other words, if I'm feeling something in a situation, if I'm putting out a fire or dealing with something, because you know, my life is very crazy. And so, I mean, like, it's a controlled burn,
yeah.
But it's very stacked. If someone comes up to me, or like, if, you know, if my girlfriend, it's like, hey, do you want... I'm just like, I just need to focus on this. Mm. And when I'm done with this, then because it's difficult for me to jump in and out and be like, hi, how are you?
Right.
Okay, now I'm trying to put out this fire. You know, and I hopefully that doesn't make me a dick.
Not at all. I think that that's incredibly responsible and actually is going to give more time to that person once you deal with it and actually stop and go just a second and deal with it. Then you have more time after because you've actually taken care of it as opposed to jumping back and forth.
Yeah, I think being in the moment is very – and also being in the moment. Being in the moment and, you know, not being too much like past and future stuff.
Yeah.
You know, someone said once future thoughts bring anxiety, past thoughts bring depression.
So true.
So you have to be very careful about, you know, you can kind of just scrape all that stuff aside.
It's the hardest thing to do though, because it's like we have to the only way we can think about dealing with the future is looking back at how we dealt with things in the past, because they're kind of like touchstones of like, okay, well I've dealt with something like that before. So if that comes up again, it's like, no, you have to kind of go, that's great. That's how you dealt with it before. Or that's an experience from the past. The future hasn't even happened yet. So let's just like hang right here. Everybody needs to calm down.
Yeah.
Cause I'm already, I mean, every time I'm doing something, I mean, I won't say that. Cause we're here.
Please.
Sometimes I will like my brain. I'm already in the next room when I'm doing something. So I'm already like going out through. I have walked into doors because I've thought that I've opened it. Like I'm like, I'm already in the kitchen.
I totally understand.
I'm already in the fucking kitchen. Or I've gotten up and I've kind of peed down my leg a little bit because I'm off the toilet and in the other room.
Sure, sure.
It's not an every time thing.
No,
but definitely it's hit my ankle. It's hit my ankle before.
You peed on your mom? See, I brought it back around.
You brought it right. You listen.
I do.
You really listen.
I do. And you know, that's an interesting thing that the podcast taught me to do. And I don't think I was a good listener before the podcast. I don't think I was as effective a listener.
I've become a much better listener.
It's important.
It is. You just really enunciated that word.
It is important that everyone listen.
It's very important.
Do I sound like I'm being aggressive at this moment? But it is important. It is important to listen. And this is just one of those kind of weird side effects that I got from doing this for years.
Which is amazing.
Well, because the thing happens sometimes where I used to be very guilty of this, of being so – and you can hear it on some of the earlier podcasts where it's obvious when you're not listening to someone, you're just thinking about the thing that you want to say.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's something as an actor I've learned to really pay attention to, because I've watched old stuff of mine and I'm like, oh, look at my wheels turning. It's to try to remember my line right now. If I actually just listened to what the other person was saying, it might cue up the line in a more organic way. And it's like I've actually taken that into my real life, being like, why don't I really listen, as opposed to like, because I'm formulating what I want to say. Everyone does. Like before the person's finished, but then you don't know if you're actually going to be responding in the right way because you haven't really listened to what they're saying, like truly listen to what they're saying.
Right. Well, something that I always say to myself, I don't know, I feel like I tried to say this on the podcast once before, but it's just a very simple idea of you should plan for the future and learn from the past, but live in the present.
Right.
So it's very difficult to do that, especially if you tend to catastrophize things.
Right.
You know, what if then this blows up and then everything's ruined, you know?
So you feel you live in the moment now?
I'm a lot better at it. But you know what's really interesting is that this is where if you start to get really, if you really let obsession, you know, like obsessive thinking take over, where you obsess over every possible horrible thing that could happen. Yeah. And then you make it through that situation, the horrible thing doesn't happen, and your brain goes, oh, well, I guess I have to obsess over every horrible thing that's supposed to happen, every outcome.
Right.
So that, well, you know, because I played chess in grade school.
Me too. I was obsessed with chess.
I played tournament chess for years.
I dated a guy who, he was so creepy, and he was like he was a master chess guy, and I was like, but I was obsessed with it. My dad taught me to play when I was young, and I was like one of the only young girls. Like I was like, let's fuck. And I got so obsessive. I like had to play all the time.
Until you smashed a rook into someone's throat.
I killed people.
There's no penalty box in a chess match.
There's no penalty box.
No, but it's...
Wow, you really did. You played tournament.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and wow. The good news, bad news. The upside, downside, what I've learned, and I can't really play anymore because it's so... Mm-hmm. I was so consumed when
totally.
I would play.
Yep.
And it's just very mentally taxing now.
Same here.
Because I can't just play for fun.
No way.
Is it teaches you to look at possible outcomes, but it also... sometimes forces you to have to look at every possible outcome
I know,
in a situation.
That's so true. But I was just reading, where did I read this? About samurais, right? So samurai warrior fighters, whatever. That's part of their training. And I could be wrong on this. Again, nobody fucking go look it up, whatever. But that they actually do that. The part of their training is to think of the absolute worst case scenario possible. And that actually makes you a zenned out, whatever, warrior master.
Right, because if you can face your...
if you can face all that stuff. But for me, I just do that. I'm like, okay, well, then if this happens, then if this happens, then if that happens. And I do that all the time. And yeah, chess was big for me.
Then if this happens, if this happens, this happens.
Yeah.
Eliza, wake up. What? What day is it? It's Friday. What? I was just thinking about potential outcomes for 4 days. Yeah, it can get a little, but I think at a certain point too, and I think this sort of comes with age. It certainly did for me. Just like, oh, I think I have to. I don't fucking care. Like, it's just the energy. You just don't have the energy.
That's where I've gotten to. I'm kind of like, oh God, the things I used to obsess about, the things that I used to freak out about. It's like now I'm just like, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I pick and choose. Kind of like, okay, that's important to obsess about.
This was a great chat.
It was a great chat.
I really, really loved. I mean, I hope you had a good time, and I hope that the conversation makes the positive side of the journal tonight.
It will.
Before you drift into sleep.
My journal remembers you.
Oh, it does.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Good.
Yeah.
In a good, like, it's, you're saying it's going to, or it does.
No, it does. It already knows who you are.
Oh. Weird.
Is that weird?
The journal stared into my soul.
It's already had your name in it.
Well, oh, that's
don't
awesome.
Don't worry about it.
Well, because you did At Midnight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm just journaling about you. You're the topic of most of my journal entries. Don't make it weird.
I wonder what Chris likes in his Chipotle burrito. Does he like steak or sofritas?
What's a sofrita?
It's spicy tofu mix. Oh. It's vegetarian.
Oh.
I'm not vegetarian, but I've tried it sometimes.
I get it.
You know, because I feel like I don't have to eat meat always.
Nope, you don't.
But I try not to always.
That's good.
But it's still...
I get it.
Yeah, but this is probably why like Morrissey will never come on. It's because there's probably meat in my tummy, and that's like too close a proximity to him.
That's really funny.
So he's not.
That's really funny.
Why is there murder in your stomach? I can't help it. I'm an animal. I'm a fucking animal, Morrissey. Well, do you want to promote the movie?
Yeah, The Last Time You Had Fun. It's on iTunes, available now.
I think my friend Jimmy Simpson's in that.
He's amazing in
it. Yeah, he's great.
Yeah.
Really great. Funny
I think he
guy.
And I are the only two that had to be kind of naked in that.
Okay.
Time.
Oh, okay.
We weren't naked together. He played my ex-husband. We were never in a scene together.
You were never in a scene together. Now, I read about the thing in the, like, I got the breakdown of the movie, and it said the film is not rated by the MPAA. Does that...
Yeah.
What
there's a lot of nudity in it.
And so that means they... Is there a certain point where the MPAA is just like, fuck it, we can't... We're not going to rate
this. You know
what?
We're not going to get into that. Because it's nudity, but it's not gratuitous, and it's not, like, gross. It's not like anyone's banging or anything, like, banging around.
Right.
Like, just like, you know... But it's... I don't know, maybe
household nudity, just like,
just real household. No, it's just like I run into the ocean without my top on, but I'm holding my boobs.
Right.
So it's not a big deal. And then there's two other girls that are not holding their boobs, and they're in a scene with Jimmy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are they're they in a boob circle?
It's a They should have had a boobs. We should go reshoot that. We should reshoot that.
Well, thank you for being on the podcast again. I mean, I know the scheduling was crazy.
Yeah.
But it finally worked out.
It worked out.
And it was great. And I hope you come back. And I hope you come back on At Midnight.
I would love to.
Because you crushed
I would
on
love
the
to.
Show. And then like it was fun to watch you on the show because I sort of felt like it seemed like you liked to play. Like you liked to do that stuff. And maybe you're not always in a situation where you can do that.
Very true. You're very insightful.
Interesting. I'm a mere man. Doing a Morgan Freeman impersonation.
How is that Morgan Freeman, though?
Well, how dare you, madam?
Let me close my eyes. Do it again.
Hello, Eliza.
No.
It's Morgan Freeman. I'm here to...
No, that sounded... I'm here sounded like
I'm
it.
Here to send you off
and then it goes
into
right
your
off.
Dreams.
That's it. You
and
it.
We are the world... We are the children.
That's it. That's it.
We are the ones to make a better day.
So let's start living. Come on, everybody.
Why did you? What was the arm thing?
I'm just feeling happy.
That's great.
Enjoy your burrito, everybody. The
end. Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.